What's up, everybody? Just want to let you know that By the Hood is powered by MDC Strategy. So Corey and I have partnered with several other educators and investors to create MDC Strategy. Just want to let you know this is not a get-rich-quick scheme or a fake internet guru selling you dreams of wealth. This is a community of educators and investors who believe in the power of community and shared ideas. We share information about real estate, long-term stock investing, precious metals, options trading, cryptocurrency, and much, much more. To get more information, go to mdcstrategy.com. What's up, family? Welcome to episode 11 of Stack Sats and Die Trying. This is episode 11, the Isaiah Thomas episode. This is the Bitcoin only show brought to you by the Hood. And yes, you did hear that right. We talk Bitcoin, not crypto, Bitcoin. We talk about stacking sats or die trying. Before we get started, I just want to say shout out to everybody who gives me all the positive feedback, man. The feedback from episode 10 was amazing. Special shout out to my brother Ross Hassan, man. That message was dope, talking about how much he loves the Stack Sats show, which is why I'll be here every Monday. You know, whether it's a short show, a longer form show, just really talking about Bitcoin, what's going on in the world of Bitcoin, and giving my perspective. I'm always the time to, you know, talk about Bitcoin, the culture, but also educating in, you know, specific episodes. Also, special shout out to everybody who pulled up on Friday. For those who don't know, every Friday at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on YouTube Live, as well as our Facebook page, we stream a live show where we talk about pretty much everything, and we do give away Bitcoin every Friday. This past week, we gave away a little over 80,000 sats, so that was fun to give away some Bitcoin and, you know, just kind of have a conversation with our folks about pretty much any and everything going on in the world. For those who don't know, our rundown is Monday, Stack Sats or Die Trying. Wednesday, we do our regular pod talking about, you know, all things personal finance, and Friday is our live show. We talk about pretty much every and anything. Listen, though, I want to get right into it. I don't want to take up too much of your time. You know, I appreciate those that tune in your version. I will make sure to try to, you know, share the information in a way that is palatable to you as well as those watching the video. Because, again, when you watch the video, you know, I always got a slideshow. I don't have a slideshow every episode, but, you know, I'm about my slideshow game. So let's get into it. This episode, I am titling Bitcoin is Global. And by the way, try to ignore my neighbor's dog. He is going wild right now. I have no idea what's going on, but shout out to his dog, though. You know, I'm a dog lover, so I ain't going to complain too much. But let me tell you how I got to this title, Bitcoin is Global. So, you know, you guys already know that I spoke at a tech conference a couple weeks ago in Charlotte. And yesterday, which was Saturday, the 20th, I had the honor of speaking at a conference called Cash Value Wealth Builders. And I talked about Bitcoin, obviously, talked about Bitcoin and how I believe that Bitcoin is digital real estate. So I had a whole presentation, a separate presentation for them. But in some of the conversations that I had at both conferences, what I realized is a lot of times, specifically people who live in America, don't understand that Bitcoin is a global thing. It's not an American thing. It's a global store of value. It's a global currency. And it means a lot of different things to different people. Like, so we've talked in the past on this show about how some people look at Bitcoin as being their real estate. For some people, it's their money. For some people, it's their form of gold or precious metals. For some people, it's their insurance, and how Bitcoin means different things to different people. But I think it's important when we think about this and we have conversations to understand that Bitcoin is global. It's not an American thing. And I'm going to tell you why it's important as I go through this presentation, but always have that framework in mind that when we talk about Bitcoin, we're not talking about something that's just in the States. So we have a certain level of financial privilege, and we don't understand that we have that. And a lot of times it's because a lot of us just aren't travelers or global or understand what happens outside of our country. But I think it's important to do that. So with that being said, let's get into the festivities this evening. First, as we start off every show, this is not investment advice. I'm not telling you to buy Bitcoin or anything else. I am not your fiduciary. This is for educational and informational purposes only, but let's get right into it, right? So And I got this news story from Bitcoin Magazine, the website. I will share links to all of the articles that I'm going to mention within this episode, as well as a couple other things that I'm going to mention in this episode. If you are listening to the audio, I will read the parts of this presentation that I took from the various articles. This article was from Bitcoin Magazine, but it says Hong Kong Bitcoin ETFs to trade by April 30th reports. So it says Hong Kong's hotly anticipated spot Bitcoin ETFs are expected to launch by the end of April, potentially yielding up to $25 billion in capital inflows, according to industry analysts. Now, think about this. This is at a time where we just had the halving. You know, the block rewards have been cut in half. So what that means is supply is going down, and now we have Hong Kong ETFs coming to the market. And I'm not saying personally that they're going to have the same effect that the U.S. ETFs have, because if you look at the overall market value of the ETFs that are, you know, used in Hong Kong versus U.S., it's not even close. We're talking about, you know, billions versus trillions. Now, I still think it's important, though, right? It says that Marcus Thielen, who's a founder of a research firm called 10X, also stated the Bitcoin ETFs could start trading by April 30th. The launch timeline will depend on finalizing details with regulators. Once listed, analysts predict the accessible funds could attract significant capital inflows. Singapore-based Matrixport expects mainland Chinese investors to pour up to $25 billion into Hong Kong's Bitcoin ETF via the Southbound Stock Connect program. Thielen echoed the sentiment, stating that the ETFs could yield $25 billion if fully accessible to Chinese investors. However, he noted that Chinese participation may take at least 6 months due to evolving regulations. Nonetheless, the ETFs mark a milestone for Bitcoin and adoption in Asia. They provide regulated exposure to Bitcoin, opening assets to a broader range of investors. Real quick, before I give you the rest of this article, or I'm not going to read the whole article before I give you a couple more bars from the article, understand that Bitcoin is global. So this is something we should be paying attention to, right? What is the consumption rate of these ETFs once they are available? A whole different part of the world. So it says by approving these ETFs, Hong Kong cements its position as a rising Bitcoin hub. The city is moving swiftly to license Bitcoin companies and products amid a growing demand, right? So again, they're talking about a Bitcoin hub being Hong Kong. When we think about Bitcoin, we think about it from a national perspective and how it's used here. And a lot of times that's why we don't understand the value proposition of Bitcoin, because we're thinking too small. So I think that it's important to always understand that this is a global asset with global demand. So people understand supply and demand, but a lot of times the questions I get is, what is the demand for Bitcoin, right? Why is there a demand for this asset? And I can give you all kinds of information, as I've already done, about the value of the network, about it being gold 2.0 and all those things. But understand that the demand is different based upon who you're speaking to, right? For me, Bitcoin is freedom. I'm going to repeat that, Dr. Umar style. Bitcoin is freedom. One more time for y'all. Bitcoin is freedom. I'm joking. But the reason I say Bitcoin is freedom is because it's not. Freedom in the sense that, listen, I want all my people to get free. It's not one of those things. I'm not, you know, trying to sound like a Stickman or M1 from Dead Prez when I say that. It's a different type of freedom for me. It is censorship resistant value. To me, that right there is why I am so passionate about Bitcoin, about the use case, and about why I want to share this with, you know, people that look like me, right? One of the things that's, you know, interesting about going to tech conferences is I'm always in the minority, and I see the conversations that other people are having, how they're approaching technology, and I get passionate about wanting to come back and share that with my people, right? So it is what it is, man. But I think that it's important to think about Bitcoin as being global. But let's move on, right? It also says, if successful, Hong Kong spot ETFs could prompt other Asian jurisdictions to follow suit. The domino effect would boost regional participation and maturity for the Bitcoin market. Wow. So depending upon how this goes, right, other Asian jurisdictions could follow suit. If that happens, what is going to happen to this scarce asset? This is a scarce asset. It'll become more scarce. And the value of the sats that we currently have, I don't even like to make price predictions. Just understand that there's going to be a demand for the sats that you already have and whatever sats you are continuously stacking along the journey, which is why we talk about stacking. We don't talk about trading sats. We stack sats. You can trade other things to do what? To stack sats, right? So with that being said, there's other reasons why I think it's important to understand the global appeal of Bitcoin as well. Outside of just ETFs being introduced and demand coming from that perspective. Here's something else to think about. This is another article from Bitcoin Magazine, which I will share the link in the show notes as well as the description. I will read a little bit of this as well for our audio listeners. Shout out to everybody on audio, especially if you out riding right now in your car listening to me. It's definitely appreciated. I am a podcast junkie, so you know, without podcasts to listen to, you know, hip hop is dead, you know. Anyway, we get into that on a Friday show. Friday show, we can talk about, you know, why hip hop doesn't, why I listen to podcasts in the car now. Podcasts and 90s R&B. But this is about Bitcoin, so I digress. This is another article from Bitcoin Magazine. It says, how Bitcoin could impact financial inclusivity among minority groups. It says a reminder that Bitcoin was designed to give people access to financial services and not simply enrich early adopters. That's important, right? So it says from an obscure footnote known to only the more tech savvy in a much more insular internet, Bitcoin has transformed into an important player in today's financial landscape. However, while we're all keenly aware of BTC's impact on financial markets, a more or less permanent fixture of the news cycle, we often forget to take a step back and look at how this new frontier affects real change and real people. So this is what I was talking about. We look at this from a national perspective. We have a more mature banking system than other places in the world. And we say, why would I use Bitcoin when I have Cash App or I have PayPal? And, you know, you have all these things that you can point to, not even taking into account that Cash App, PayPal, all of those things are they can be censored, right? And they do depend on other people being able to give you permission to use their services, right? It's crazy. I told y'all a story a couple weeks ago about me trying to close out a bank account. And, you know, I felt like I was closing out a Planet Fitness account, right? You know, only thing worse than closing out certain bank accounts is when you try to close out a gym account, they put you through the wringer. But that means that you don't have full control over your resources. So what happens when you want your money and they just tell you no? Even if you can fight to get it, I want to be able to use my value when I want to use my value, right? So, but think of this from a global perspective. Think of this from perspective of people who don't have mature court systems. And I'm not saying that is everywhere, right? I'm not one of these people who think that, you know, you go outside of America and you're back in the Stone Ages, because I do travel and I do know that we get a lot of propaganda in our country about how bad other countries are. So that's also for a Friday show, but I digress. So it says, for those historically marginalized by traditional banking due to barriers like poor credit or lack of accessibility, BTC has emerged as a vital financial tool. Its impact is most profound in developing countries where access to banking still poses a challenge for many. Here, Bitcoin serves as more than a currency or an investment. It's a means to engage in essential financial activities, such as sending and receiving money that would otherwise be out of reach. Going to repeat that part of this article. Here, Bitcoin serves as more than a currency or an investment. It's a means to engage in essential financial activities. I think that's important because, again, as said in previous episodes, it means different things to different people, which is why in a previous episode, I called it the king asset. It's the king asset because it can have so many functions depending upon who is using said tool. And to me, that kind of separates it from everything else, right? I can own real estate. It can go up in value. Real estate can't be my money. It's not my money. Some will say, all right, well, you can refinance or get a line of credit. I still have to get permission to do all of those things you said. So imagine me putting my money in bricks and then having to ask permission to get my own money. Yeah, it can't be money, all right? And it's not to say anything bad about real estate. You guys know I'm a real estate guy. The stocks I own cannot be cash, right? So Bitcoin has the ability to be different things to different people, which is why I think it was episode 5. I called it the king asset. So getting back into this article, it says this promise has seen tangible realization in countries like Nigeria, where traditional banking services are out of reach for many, in Nigeria, Bitcoin has become more than a speculative asset. For instance, with the country's significant diaspora, Bitcoin facilitates remittances, enabling Nigerians living abroad to send money home more efficiently and at lower cost compared to traditional banking services. And it's funny, right? Because even having mature banking services, sending wires is still a pain in 2024. And I know this because I, you know, go to real estate closings and we have to send wires. It's still an absolute nightmare. And you get hit over the head for trying to use wires, depending upon where you're banking at. So that's Nigeria. That's an example of Nigeria, right? So let's talk about Argentina. In Argentina, this is back to the article, Bitcoin has emerged as a crucial financial tool amidst the country's ongoing economic challenges, including high inflation rates and currency devaluation. For Argentinians, Bitcoin offers a more stable store of value compared to the national currency, the Argentine peso, which has suffered from significant depreciation over the years. Again, side note, when we look at it from a national perspective, we look at inflation, but you know, our inflation, well, first of all, they lied to us about what our inflation actually is. But when you look at other countries, their inflation is really rampant and their value of their currency completely deteriorates. I saw, and I think I shared a picture of it, because I saw a picture of it in a book before. I don't forget what country it was, but their currency had deflated so bad that instead of like, you know, going out to get wood for the fireplace, the lady was just using the currency because it actually had more value lighting fires in her house than it did to actually go spin. So in other countries, it gets like that. All right, now back to the article. A similar trend can be noticed in Ghana, where the annual inflation rate is predicted to land in a 13 to 17% range in 2024. Nigeria, Argentina, Ghana are all using Bitcoin differently than we are in the States. In Venezuela, a country grappling with political instability and economic crisis, Bitcoin has found a unique role beyond just a means of preserving wealth against hyperinflation. Here, Bitcoin is being utilized to support microfinance initiatives and charitable donations, directly impacting the lives of those in need. Organizations and platforms leveraging cryptocurrency can bypass traditional financial systems, which are often inaccessible or unreliable for the country's impoverished populations, to provide direct financial assistance. So we got Venezuela as well, using it from a different standpoint of microfinance and charitable donations. This is why it's important to have a global perspective when you look at Bitcoin. So the first thing people say, what is the intrinsic value? You know how many times I've heard that? I have heard that so many times. And what I say is check your financial privilege, right? The intrinsic value is the fact that you can have value exchange that is censorship resistant. In some of these countries, they do not want their people using Bitcoin, but they can't stop it. There is nothing they can do. I can run my node over here in Philadelphia and, you know, because the network, and this is the network effect, I'm helping somebody in Venezuela, right? That's the beauty of Bitcoin. This is what people don't understand about decentralization and, you know, all of us. This is the people's money. Like, yo, we're all across the world mining and running nodes and doing things to contribute to a network. I mean, even you, it's going to sound crazy, watching this episode is contributing to a network. You're taking your time to learn or just, you know, listen to what I have to say about Bitcoin. The network is something that we all contribute to and we all benefit from. By me sharing these stories about Venezuela or Ghana, I may open up someone's eyes or give a different perspective, which is contributing to the network, right? By them using it that way is contributing to a network that I use here in Philadelphia, right? So we are all, this is the people. The people are doing this, right? And people say, well, you know, government's probably in there too. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter because the code is open source. And unless the government is willing to come into everybody's house and change the code on my node, it doesn't matter, right? That's open. That's the power of open source software. Like it's a beautiful thing. All right. With that being said, here's a book. I'm always giving you guys book recommendations specifically in the Bitcoin space. Be completely transparent with you. I haven't even finished the book yet, but I did start it. It's pretty powerful. It's by a gentleman named Alex Gladstein, and it's actually called Check Your Financial Privilege Inside the Global Bitcoin Revolution. It is available on Audible as well. To be honest with you, that's what I'm doing. I'm listening to the book. Problem is, I'm always listening to or while reading simultaneously like five books. So I'm like going from this one to this one to this one. But eventually I get them all done. But this is about literally checking your financial privilege, kind of the conversation we're having today. And he gives more examples and more of an idea how Bitcoin, you know, is a peaceful revolution, but it's also a revolution in the sense that globally, people are taking control of their value. So we may be in our bubbles and we may look at it one way, but understand that this is a global financial currency, store of value, or however you want to look at it, property, depending upon how you look at it. So with that being said, I hope you enjoyed my little rant today about Bitcoin being global, the power of it being global, why it's important to have a global perspective when you look at it. Also, when people ask you these questions, like tell them about Venezuela, tell them about Ghana, tell them about Nigeria. Many people don't even understand that this stuff is happening, right? And I'll give you an example why. For those that are familiar with the Philadelphia area, I grew up in a Germantown section, which is the northwest section of the city. It's called Germantown, right? And one of the things I remember about growing up in Germantown is I played ball, you know, I have friends all over the city from just playing AAU ball and things like that. But what was interesting is everybody in my neighborhood didn't play ball. So there were people in my neighborhood who literally never left the neighborhood, right? There wasn't no fault of theirs. They didn't have a reason to. They did their shopping in Germantown. They went to, you know, middle school, junior high and high school in the area, right? They met their wife there. They had their entertainment there. They rarely ever left. And when you would tell them about things going on in other parts of the city, they would like look at you like you were insane, right? Because I'm traveling the city playing ball. And I'm like, yo, over here, they got this, they got that. Like, you know, didn't even care to know, right? And it's funny because I was having a conversation with a friend of mine from West Philly. And he's like, yo, I know people from West Philly like that. They never leave. They could do all their shopping. They met their girl. They, you know, kind of the same, you know, story that I had. And then I think about that, like, if we know people that have never left their neighborhood within Philadelphia, how many people have just never left Philadelphia? Then how many people have never left the country, right? And I understand it's a privilege to be able to do that because and everybody can't afford to do so. But the thing about travel, and I saw this before, it was in a magazine or a book or something. It said the only thing that opens your mind up more than travel are books. So it said books and travel are the two biggest ways to kind of open up your mind and change your perspective or give you a different perspective. So I think a lot of times, and I'm going to bring this back to Bitcoin. I think a lot of times we have a difficulty seeing how powerful this can be because we're thinking about ourselves. And the fact that this network exists, I can own value in this network, to me is really revolutionary. And it's a once in a lifetime thing. I know a lot of people talk about like the various shit coins they like and all that, but they don't have the network. They don't have the brand. They don't have the first mover advantage. And again, I'm not someone to sit here and bash people that want to buy shit coins. Do your thing. I just focus my attention somewhere else. The best way I can put that is this. I look at this as being digital real estate, right? So if this is indeed digital real estate and we are truly early, the way I look at buying Bitcoin now, and I've heard other people say this before, like Dadu from Bitcoin Magazine, who was on our regular podcast, he talked about he thought that Bitcoin was like buying Manhattan real estate. And I said, I agree with that, right? Imagine being able to have your ancestors or, you know, the people that come before you go back and buy real estate in Manhattan. Obviously, you want them to do so because that would put you in a different place right now. So I look at Bitcoin as being real estate in Manhattan. So I say that to say, why would I be buying, and this is no shots at anybody who lives in the middle of the country, but why would I be in Topeka, Kansas buying real estate when I have the same opportunity to buy Manhattan real estate? Shout out to everybody from Topeka. I've never been to Topeka, Kansas. It's just like, I don't know, man, you know, or you could be the illest brother in Nebraska, whatever you want to say. There's somewhere that's not Manhattan. I'm not from Manhattan, but I know the value of Manhattan real estate. If I say Manhattan land, you guys know what that value is hitting for. So why wouldn't I focus there as opposed to even if I say something will succeed, which I don't think anything will succeed long term versus Bitcoin. But why would I be in Topeka, Kansas, when I can be in Manhattan grabbing up all the land? Y'all can go play over there and have y'all fun with your little dog coins in Topeka. No shot to Topeka because I don't want no slander from nobody on socials. But fact of the matter is, cop you some Manhattan land. And that is not investment advice. That's what I'm doing. That's what I'm doing. I'm buying Manhattan real estate, yo. With that being said, though, make sure to pull up on Friday for the live because we have fun. It's it's kind of what we do. Wednesday, check out that pod as well. Make sure to share this with your family, friends, like, comment, subscribe, do all the YouTube and stuff. I appreciate you guys giving all that feedback. Give me some feedback on this episode too. Let me know, do you think with a global perspective, right? Because I've actually had someone tell me, believe it or not, like, and this sounds funny, but it's true. I had someone tell me, like, I ain't thinking about that. I'm thinking about, like, national. I had someone tell me they don't even care about traveling outside the country. It was like, yo, this country is so big, I haven't been to the whole country yet, so why I want to leave? If that's your thing, that's your thing. You know what I mean? But I think that it helps to give you an idea of culture and see how other people live and see what things other people value. And also lets you see how different we are, but also how alike we are when you travel. And I think it's very powerful thing to do so. But let me know if you ever thought about Bitcoin from a global perspective. Let me know what you think about the stories of the various places that I told you and how they're using Bitcoin. And let me know if you got any value at all from this episode. Or if you hated the episode, tell me that too. That's cool. I'll try to do better. You know what I mean? I'm all about trying to bring value on this Monday show. And I am working on a lot of other episodes. But this is a conversation I felt I needed to have after the week or 2 weeks I just had. Because it's funny, because I wear Bitcoin gear everywhere. So every time you wear Bitcoin gear, one of the things about wearing Bitcoin gear is you get into conversations. I was sitting in first class on my airline, and it was a gentleman on the air in the first class, and he used to start going in on it. He started showing me his screen, how much Bitcoin he had and all that. But wearing gear really starts conversations. So in starting those conversations, this is how I come up with the ideas sometimes of what I'm going to talk about. It's like literally from being outside. I could be walking through Target. You know what I'm saying? I'm a Target boy. I can't do Walmart no more. I hate to sound that way, but yeah, I get Walmart delivered because I can't be in Walmart. It's just too crazy. Walmart's in Philly is wild. They wild. Anyway, so I could be in Target, you know, Bitcoin t-shirt, and someone would just start a conversation with me. Oh, what do you think about this? And blah, blah, blah. The main thing they say is, they see my Bitcoin t-shirt, and they start asking me about all kinds of various shit coins. And some of the stuff I hear about, it's just wild. Anyway, give me some feedback. Let me know what you think. I appreciate all the support. See you guys on Friday for those that will pull up. Love y'all. Remember, stack sats or die trying. Peace.